Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to your Monday morning Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I am Mark Heath. Bad news, good news. Bad news, we all got our predictions terribly wrong, friends, last week. Good news, that's because Ipswich Town have done it. They've only bloody done it. They've only gone and beaten Spurs 2-1 away. First Premier League win in 22 bloody ruddy years. And obviously, I'm quite excited about it, as I'm sure you are. I hope there's a few of you waking up with a sore head today. Celebrations well-earned, well-deserved. All of us are here today. We're going to obviously get quite excited about breaking down the game, the victory, what it means, all that kind of stuff. But we're going to start, first of all, by throwing straight to our Lord and Saviour, Kieran McKenna, for his thoughts on what happened at Spurs yesterday.
I think it's a massive, you know, I'm not going to shy away from that. It's a really significant moment and a day to cherish certainly in the recent history of the football club. You know, if you take out this season, you look at the journey the club's been on the last 22 years, the ups and downs, the some highs, but some of the depths as well. I think for the supporters to, you know, see their club win in the Premier League at a club like Tottenham, a fantastic club, in a stadium like this, it's a team like that, is a massive day for them. For us who've been involved in the journey for the last couple of years, it's a, you know, really significant day as well to, you know, where the club was 2 years ago, to now be competing in the Premier League over the first games is a big step. But to now, of course, make that next step and to win a Premier League game is a really, really significant landmark in the journey. And of course, for this group this season, you know, it's, as we've said many times, it's a relatively new group coming together, trying to adjust to the Premier League and the demands of the Premier League, adjusting, you know, many of the players to a new club as well. It's a really significant step for them because we feel like there's been some good work going on since pre-season, really. There's been some improvement, certainly, over the course of the games. We feel like players are adapting and learning. And we've been competitive in lots of our games. But, of course, for this group, until you take that last step and win a game, that's always going to be held over you a little bit. So to do that today, to do it in the manner that we did and to do it against this football club's, you know, a really big day for us.
Stu, it's only right we start with you for your opening thoughts. You've been up, you've been down, mostly down over the time covering Town for what, more than a decade now. You've been in League One, mired in League One, back up into the Championship. Now, Ipswich Town have just got a win in the Premier League, friend. You've been there to report on it. Kieran McKenna, we just heard telling you, it was a really significant moment for the football club. How do you feel about it?
I like the fact that Kieran always kind of acknowledges that the journey's been a lot longer than since he and his staff and several of these players came along a couple of years ago. And forget about me, it's about the supporters that have made those journeys to the various places. I'm not going to bother predicating these with the greatest respect, etc. Certain clubs roll off the tongue when we look back on where Ipswich have been. We talked about, you know, and the last pod 2 years ago to the day when we last recorded was the Bracknell game in the FA Cup. That's where Ipswich were at not that long ago and playing the likes of, inverted commas, Forest Green, Morecambe, etc., etc. And now they're winning at Tottenham Hotspur. It's quite remarkable, really. It really is.
It's fantastic. Rossi, you have been a lifelong Ipswich Town fan. How old were you the last time Ipswich Town won in the Premier League, which was April 2002?
I was five.
So you probably can't even remember it. And now, as a fully grown man with a beautiful beard, you were there when they made history and won at Spurs yesterday, taking pictures, talking to the fans. How are you feeling? How was it for you?
Yeah, incredible day. Obviously, the stadium we'll get onto shortly, but obviously that was an amazing experience. But yeah, to witness an Ipswich Town winning the Premier League, because I didn't go to any games when I was five. You know, I went to the home games, but not away games, because we didn't win many games at home in that Premier League season, the last one. But yeah, an incredible day and a well-deserved win for Ipswich Town. It's not like one of those, you know, scrappy wins for Town. I thought they fought very well. And it was an incredible day. And the fan, that away end was bouncing. And even leaving the ground, people were just, hugging each other, kissing each other. It just felt like an important day in the club's history of, recording that first win. So, an incredible day.
Yeah. Didn't go to games when you were five? What sort of fan are you, mate? Pathetic.
Away games, though. not away games, because, I know there's some people...
You weren't doing home and away when you were five?
Where were you when you were five?
AJ, you're the latest to join our merry band of KOA men. And it must have been a big day for you as well. You covered a side through the championship, fairly spectacular rise. Mm-hmm. Then at Spurs, we said it was going to come. You wrote something at the start of last week about reasons to be positive. And duly, it's happened.
Yeah, I won't be going on about how old I was when they lost in the Premier League before I get shouted at. I thought that there were reasons to be positive, and I wrote about some of the weaknesses that Spurs had going into the game, and I thought, am I going too heavy on this? Am I nitpicking over a side that we all know are very good, have a strong home record, are a top six team, play in Europe, etc., etc.? And I wasn't, but I don't think that this result was really down to Tottenham. This was Ipswich being excellent, and Ipswich knowing exactly how they wanted to approach this game and executing that approach to a T, pretty much. Even the goal they conceded, it's hard to really point any fingers at that, having watched that goal back a lot of times now to try and figure it out. Everything else they did on the day was excellent. And I think there were probably a few eyebrows raised, possibly, when we saw it was a back five. It was absolutely the right thing, because we talk about Spurs and their pace and their wingers, but being able to double up defensively, bring Axel Tuanzebe back in, him working with Ben Johnson to shut down Son. Did Son get a sniff, really? One or two bits where he fluffed his lines. Brennan Johnson on the other side, absolutely nothing. That was such a good way of going about it. And then it allowed them to double up going forward as well to create both goals. Both of those goals came from overloads that were able to happen because they played a back three / back five. Tactically, that's how it matched up so well, but also it's just about the way they wanted to play the game. We have seen Ipswich, for example, in the Brighton game earlier in the season, sit back and defend a bit, and because they've had to, and they're still bedding in. And Kieran McKenna saying, it's a good point, but we want to progress and learn. And over time, you're going to see us develop from this. We're going to be able to take games to these teams. Now, this is your development. This is coming to a Tottenham team and taking the game to them, attacking them, making life hard for them, pressing them. Was not a defensive performance. It wasn't like they were sitting back. They did everything right to really make Tottenham suffer, and fully deserved it. And you could talk about the sentimentals around the game. I'm someone that will like the way that they did it as well, pretty much more than anything, to be perfectly honest. And when you look at it in that regard, this is no smash and grab. This is a really, really strong Ipswich performance that came from a game plan that was executed masterfully.
Almost as if, AJ, almost as if we knew we had a clip of McKenna talking about the game plan coming up, which we do. Fancy that. Let's hear it.
Kieran, when we spoke to you on Friday, you kind of outlined all the various ingredients that you would need to get a result here. Certainly, I think you got a tick in all of the boxes, didn't you, in terms of the offensive play, the defensive play, the man management, some type of decisions going your way. Is that kind of how you envisaged the game plan today?
Yeah, I have to say first half was pretty much spot on. We know for a team in our context, the journey we've been on coming away from home to a team in this context and of this strength, that there's certain elements of the game that have to be spot on. And for us, with the whole season, really, we've built such a brave identity of play that we want to stay true to. But we also know it's a huge step up, and we need to be clever in terms of how we're going to compete for points. And I thought today our balance of that was really, really good. I thought we showed our identity in some moments where we pressed high in the first half and were aggressive and played with intensity and made it hard for Tottenham to build. We showed it in times where we played brave and built out from the back. We scored two goals, one where we controlled the ball with a lot of possession, another goal with a terrific goal on the counter-attack. we managed the game well. We controlled the set play as well. We used them to our advantage. Our organisation out of possession, our discipline out of possession was terrific. And the subs had a good impact. And, you know, Arrow made a couple of saves and we were pretty clinical with most of our chances. So, yeah, in terms of the ingredients that you need to come here and get a result, you need a lot of them things to go right. And I think in the first half, we executed fantastically well.
Right, and Stu, you lead the dance. Where do you want us to go from here? It's so typically Town, isn't it? We've built up to games against the likes of West Ham, struggling at the time, Leicester, Everton. And we thought, this might be the one. None of us, and I don't care who you are out there now, you know, hindsight Harry's, after time has come and say, I knew they were going to beat Spurs. You're all lying. None of you thought they were going to go and beat Spurs, but they did, Stu. So where do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I think earlier in this podcast, we said we were highlighting the positives. We said it was coming, but let's be honest, I think to a man, we all predicted the 3-1 defeat was our first kind of instinct going into this one. And there were little chinks that you kind of thought, well, Tottenham have just gone to Galatasaray in the week and that might take a little bit out of them. And they've got a couple of injuries in certain areas. And, you know, Ipswich have played quite well against Brentford and Leicester. But even with all of that evidence, I looked at how good Tottenham are at home. They've been putting 3 and 4 goals past people for fun. So many names jump off the team sheet for them. Son, obviously, at the top of that list. And I thought Ipswich could go there and play positive and maybe get a goal, but I thought they'd be outscored. And I think a lot of people deep down, when they kind of looked at it logically, thought that would be the case. And as Kieran McKenna has just said in his clip there, and as he said leading into the game, you needed absolutely everything to go right for Ipswich to get a result like this. And that is what happened. You had Ipswich played really well in all elements of the game. I'm slightly jarred listening to me asking that question back. What I meant to say is game management, not man management. But, you know, they had to take their chances on the counter. They had to be strong at set plays. They had to manage the game well when they got in front. They had to be really bodies on the line, resilient defensively. They had to be organised. They needed a little bit of luck at times. Spurs didn't have loads of chances, but I look back and think if that Brennan Johnson one, if he'd have towed that in the second, third minute, could have been a different story. And they needed the VAR decisions to go their way for once. And there was a couple of those. They were correct calls, but, you know, given how erratic that's been this season, that's no guarantee. So everything came together. It was, you know, we've been talking about the luck hasn't quite been on Ipswich's side. The margins haven't been on Ipswich's side. Maybe they'd all been saved up for this game. And the perfect storm, it all came together. And as the boys have already said, fully deserved.
Right then, AJ, I guess we should start at the start with the team. You've already mentioned a back five. There was a player who played that none of us were expecting to see, and that must have been quite a little boost mentally for Town going into this, because he is one of their best defenders. Axel Tuenzebe, not too long ago, there we go, there's a picture from Rossi, almost sliced his thumb off whilst washing up. Still, Axel, I hope you've got a dishwasher now. And you can see on that picture that the cast that he's wearing, it not only does it extend to kind of the base of his fingers, it also runs halfway down his forearm. So a serious cast he's wearing there to protect that injury. It reminds me a little bit of in American football, where they're not allowed to hold each other's jerseys. And a lot of the offensive linemen wear casts on their hands, which means they can't use their fingers. So he was starting and playing. What else did you make of the side? We saw Ben Johnson start, for example. Connor Chaplin dipped out. How are you feeling when that, what would it have been, 12:45 when the team was announced, AJ?
Tuenzebe starting, playing and taking throw-ins with his handle bandaged up was an interesting approach. But, hey, it worked, didn't it? I think that when I saw it, initial kind of flashbacks to the Man City game where it was probably the right approach, but it was a hard game to obviously use that as a where you know that it is a versatile system. You can change it around into a 4-2-3-1, whatever, but you know that you're not going to have that much possession, and that most of the time you're going to be spent in a back five. And I think there were times in that Man City game where they got to grips with it and times where they didn't. And I kind of had that feeling going into it, but it felt like the right approach, as I mentioned, because of the wide players. and being able to try and shut down what they have. Because you look at Tottenham, yeah, there's loads of quality all over the pitch. But the two attacking threats that you would pick out probably would be Son and Brennan Johnson, given his form. And if you cut off that service, then their attacking depth and quality just kind of falters a bit. And that's what we saw. So, yeah, with Axel, let's just start with that. I mean, we had a feeling, didn't we, that it was going to happen on the day of the game, because he posted on his Instagram story hinting that he might be involved, even though it seemed unlikely when we spoke to Kieran McKenna. So that was a huge boost. And then having him and Johnson, I think they complement each other quite well and they work together quite well. So that was nice. Amari Hutchinson being out on the right, as he has to be on this kind of back five system, the dovetailing number 10s works well. Did feel for Connor Chaplin, because he would have loved to have played in this game, wouldn't he? And he's been in really good form. But sacrificing him meant the system was better, was smoother, and obviously was a huge part in them getting the results. So the only other bit that was, I don't want to say interesting, because it was expected, was Liam Delap. We spoke about George Hurst being able to benefit on the high Tottenham line, but you know what Liam Delap is. And especially with Romero, we thought there was a chance he might be out, but he ended up coming in and starting. And that battle he had with Romero in this game, beautiful. Loved it.
We're going to come on to Delap, the best young English striker in the whole damn game. But let's talk about goals, Rossi. And I owe an apology to Sammy Smodics, because once again, when I ranked the signings, the summer signings, I think I put him down in seventh or eighth. I wasn't really that excited about Sammy Smodics signing, to be honest. I thought at best he was a top, you know, top level championship player off the back of an unbelievable season. And I wasn't sure that he would do the business at Town. But he's proved me wrong, and he's proved a lot of other people wrong as well, I think, maybe agreed with that point of view. And we've talked about Town scoring great goals in the Premier League. In terms of the context of a game where you get your first Premier League win in 22 years, taking the lead with an overhead kick whilst wearing pink in a kit designed by Ed Sheeran is a pretty good way to go about it. What a goal.
Yeah, what a goal indeed. He should have scored in the couple of first minutes in the game, to be fair. But no, yeah, Sammy, he's an unbelievable, you know, character anyway. But for him to score that, like everybody here, I think even Sammy mentions it in his the audio we'll be playing later. You know, you practice that in your garden, don't you? Just, you know, trying to get an overhead kick. I even try at five aside, and that normally doesn't come off. Although I think it has once, and it went wide. But yeah, incredible moment. Obviously a hammer as well, an Irons fan, a West Ham fan. So I'm sure it was a big moment for him. I'm sure he'll have a lot of his, you know, family and friends probably in that town away and, you know, supporting him, and obviously maybe being West Ham fans as well. But yeah, an incredible moment to take the lead, and a well-deserved lead as well. I thought, you know, we were really giving Spurs a game, and yeah, an incredible goal. And yeah, he celebrated my way, so I was very happy. So thanks, Sammy, if you're listening.
We've got some great pictures of Sammy. We're going to look at some pictures from Rossi in a bit, just kind of reflecting on the best pictures of the game. Stewie, what was that? What was that like from where you were sitting in terms of? I mean, we've seen Town take the lead on the road. Well, obviously, they scored first at Man City, and then the wheels have come off a little bit. Did it feel like this one was going to be different when that went in, or were you still kind of sitting there thinking there's a lot of time left?
Yeah, never mind after the first goal, even after the second goal, and we got into half-time at 2-0. You look at Spurs' record, they've got this reputation of conceding first at home. They've got this reputation of coming back, of finishing strongly. You only had to look at their previous game against Aston Villa, where they were 1-0 down and won 4-1. So the old adage, the old cliche of 2-0 being a dangerous scoreline, did feel relevant on this occasion, you know, and that I think was a feeling shared a lot amongst a lot of people when we were having a chat at half time. Brilliant position, fully deserved, but a hell of a long way to go. But no, to go back to the Sammy Smodics goal, his kind of career arc so far, you know, a bit like Jamie Vardy, really. I love examples like him of people that have kind of climbed the ranks, worked really hard, grafted throughout his career. It's not been a sort of a straight line climb up the divisions. It's been a bit of a snakes and ladders ride for him. But here he finds himself in the Premier League in his late 20s. He scored at the Etihad. He scored at Brentford, and now he's scored at Tottenham Hotspur with an overhead kick. His goal record over the last 18 months is remarkable.
Absolutely. Right then. AJ, you spoke to him after the game, so I'm going to play that, and then we'll come to you for a bit more excited chat about this historic victory.
I think we thoroughly deserved it. Performances recently have been really good. Like I said, we deserve to come here, and tough place to come, and we deserve to get the 3 points. We've deserved wins in the past 11 games, and not everyone, but we've deserved wins. And, you know, we've been on the wrong end of them, and like I said, we've been on the wrong end of these goals late on. So to come to an arena like this and put in a performance like that, I think it just gives us that relief and that confidence now, I think, to go into games now. We've got that first win under our belt, and now we can push on, and we believe we're not here to make the numbers up, we're here to compete. So it was a fantastic day for us. You know what it is, I can't remember the build up, it's just behind me, and you know, it's like I said earlier, it's just something you practice in your garden. I found a bit more space than I thought I did have, and you know, you just attempt one of them things, and it's, you know, I just heard the roar, and it's an amazing feeling. It's probably one of the best goals in one of the best stadiums I've ever scored, so yeah, really pleased.
You probably would have known that you were the last team in the 92 that needed to get that win. How was it kind of blocking that out in the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think we just got to ignore it. You know, you see all sorts on social media, Twitter. People that have never kicked the ball in their life want to say, talk to us about winning games and scoring goals. You know, they've never played at this level. It's a completely different level to the Championship. So we block that noise out. We focus on us, you know, as a whole squad, managers, staff, fans. I think we just thoroughly deserve it as a whole today. You know, the journey they've been on is amazing. And to be brought in and to be part of this is even better for myself. And, you know, we're not here to make up the numbers. We're here now. You know, the relief's gone. We've got our first win. And hopefully we can build on and add many more.
International break come at the right time, do you think?
Probably not now we've got a win. Probably not. You know, we've got that momentum and we've got that confidence. So, you know, the lads will have a nice rest. The lads will go away with their countries. Hopefully no injuries, and we can build on that and look forward to another amazing game at Portman Road.
Musk will be after you, Sammy. It's not called Twitter anymore. It's called X. You don't tweet, you X. AJ, clearly, great goal from Sammy. He also played a really important role in the second goal, which let's talk about that now. So it started, actually, with something we've seen quite a lot from Town, with a bit of a Rick from Urich, who plays Town into trouble. And they get themselves out of it. Omari Hutchinson does incredibly well, surges forward, and then you saw Smodix and Leif Davis sprinting full pelt down the other end of the pitch. Davis to Smodix. Smodix plays it in, and then there's that man, the wrecking ball, the juggernaut, Liam Delap, to make it 2-0. And frankly, my friend, when I saw it was 2-0, I couldn't quite believe it.
No, you know what? I was sat there watching the game, and I couldn't quite believe it, to be perfectly honest, especially where it came from, because I thought Muric had a really good game, but let's be perfectly honest, there are distribution bits that he needs to improve on, and that will happen, absolutely. But I think we do need to focus on the positives more than the negatives. But this was a move that came from his pass out. It gets carried forward, I think it's by Saar, whacked out of play with one of the weirdest kind of sliced clearances from Leif Davis. And this move starts, and he deserves real credit for it, with Ben Johnson. Because the ball looks like it's going to go out of play. Most defenders would just leave it. And he brings it down with the most amazing touch to keep it in right on the line and play it forward, which I think summed up, for starters, really the approach that Ipswich had in this game. It's not about always slowing things down. If you see an opportunity to get the ball forward, go for it. And I love that Ben Johnson had that. Play it forward. Amari deserves recognition for this because he comes into this battle with Bentancur, who's bigger than him for sure. Bentancur's probably about 6'2. Part kind of barges him off out of the way, brings the ball forward, sets up Leif Davis down the left. It's his ball forward to Smodix, and he's in the perfect position. It's that link up again down the left that's able to happen because Ipswich are playing a back five, which is really useful. Ball in from Smodix causes chaos. Not really sure what happened here. It's like Vicario pushes it out onto Dragusin. Dragusin kind of just stands there and it bounces back over. Who's going to fire it in? It's going to be Liam Delap. Smacks it into the roof of the net. We talk about like the Delap individual brilliance. He was brilliant in the first goal, by the way, for the battling header. And we've seen him smack them in from miles out. And in this goal, which is his, he's probably done the least. Well, he's definitely done the least, hasn't he? It's so much brilliant build-up work from Ipswich, playing it right to left from absolutely nothing. And he's the one to fire it in to make it 2-0. Unbelievable form so far in an Ipswich shirt. I'm sure we'll come on to him. But for me, it's just the way that this was such a nice team goal. Everything about it, the link up, defence to attack, the approach that Ipswich had all summed up into this one, even if it did come from a little bit of shenanigans at the back from Tottenham.
We're going to talk about Lindelap now. We've got a picture from Rossi, which is simply titled Delap Baby. I don't know if you can flash that. I'll do it, Ross. There we go. There is Delap Baby on the run. Doesn't actually fill the box there, Ross. You've broken your own rules. Have a word with yourself. Stu, I'm going to read this stat to you. Goals in their first 10 starts in the English top tier. Liam Delap, 6. Harry Kane, 5. Wayne Rooney, 5. Alan Shearer, 3. Michael Owen, 3. So that conclusively proves that Delap is potentially the best English striker of all time. All joking aside, none of us thought that Liam Delap was going to be this good. He's been sensational. Well, all right, Rossi, you did say that he was going to be good, but I don't think you really thought he's going to be 6 goals in 11 games good in the Premier League. He's been sensational, Stu.
How many goals did he get in the Championship? Everyone was kind of going, 15 million is a fair chunk of money for someone who got a handful of goals in the Championship across his loan
certainly
spells.
Wasn't terrific.
Alex is it
was 8 last season, 8 goals, 2 assists, which is all right. I think that was his most prolific.
He was injured for half of that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got 4 goals in the season before that. What was that loan spell? It was Preston. And then the one before that, I'm going to try to find that at the moment. But it's not the most amazing return. It looks like he got 3 at Stoke, and I think he then went to Preston during that season. So it's 3 at Stoke and 1 at Preston before getting 8 at Hull. Mm. So that it's not a prolific return at all.
Yeah. Put the goals aside. The goals are great. The goals are what will get him the headlines. Those stats that you've just read out are amazing. But it's his all-round performance that I'm enjoying more at the moment. We've talked about him being the juggernaut, the wrecking ball, that sort of stuff. Spurs did not like it up him, that's for sure. Liam Delap, particularly with Romero, has touched upon, just put himself about from the first minute. He leaves a little bit on people. He's always got a little look of devilment, a little glint in his eye as he does it. We saw it with, who was it? Wout Faas for Leicester, didn't we, the previous week? I just like it. You mentioned like Rooney in that list just now. It reminds me of like a young Rooney that's got just that. You can't teach it, that aggression. Mm. He's always on, feels like he's right on the cusp of kind of harnessing that. Did he get booked in this game, didn't he? And then you always kind of worry when he's sort of on a booking. But he was excellent. He just really put himself about, and I love, as someone who grew up idolizing Duncan Ferguson, that gives you an idea of the type of sort of centre forward that I like, and I really like that the old fashioned centre forward is coming back into fashion a little bit now. People are starting to play with them again, having gone through this kind of era of everyone wanting to play false nines and copying Spain and Pep and all of that. I'm enjoying it.
Duncan Ferguson, the protagonist in some of my favourite stories of all time featuring footballers, about putting burglars in hospital. don't break into Big Dunk's house, and also don't break into Lindelap's house. Rossi, so it's 2-0. Things are looking good. But we know Spurs are very good second half, and clearly Town have shown a propensity to lose leads. I think they lost 12 points from a winning position this season, the worst record in the league. So you look at those stats at half-time, you think, there's a long way to go. And duly, Spurs come out and score. At least we think they did, but then they didn't. And in terms of everything having to come together in a perfect storm, Ipswich Town had been on the end of, I think, 3 VAR reversals or changes of fortune this season, hadn't got one going their way. And finally, in this game, we get one. And maybe that's because Mark Ashton's pinned Howard Webb against a wall in his office during the week. but this was the right decision, Rossi, which is how VAR should be used.
Yes, finally, it went our way. I remember turning to good old Wazza, who is part of the game day KOA posse, and I looked at him and went, "Oh, here we go again." Obviously, when it was overruled, and we were very happy that that the goal was not a goal. We celebrated just like, yes, get in there, lads, because finally it went our way, and because that would have been a key moment. I know Spurs went on to score, later on, but you know, that would have, I don't know, I feel like that would have changed the game a bit more because of just, you know, scoring just after half time. That's never an ideal time to concede. But yeah, finally, you know, maybe Mark Ashton's chat may have a little bit helped a little bit, but it was a handball. So happy days.
Absolutely.
I could tell straight away. Obviously, I couldn't see because we were up the other end and it was hard to see what had actually happened. But I think when you can see four or five Ipswich players immediately all running to the referee and tapping their forearms to say handball, I think you can always tell from players' reactions whether it's genuine or not. And I thought there's a very strong chance this gets overruled. And then as soon as you saw the replay, quite clearly it sort of pops up off his foot onto his arm on the way into the net. And yeah, that's what the technology is there for. Clear and obvious error. Understandable why the ref didn't spot it first time. That's what the technology is there for, as a fail-safe. So that's how it's... we've spent a long time talking about bin it, it's rubbish, it's that's what it's not there for. But, you know, that's why it's there. Yeah. And, you know, that was good.
Don't bin it, just use it correctly.
Yeah.
It's very simple, just use it correctly. And this was used correctly. So essentially, Solanke kicks the ball onto his own arm, it goes into the goal. In a masterstroke, AJ... Another Heath masterstroke of FPL brilliance. I ditched Liam Delap and brought in Solanke for this game. Fantastic. anyway, so it is still 2-0. They've used VAR correctly, but then Spurs get themselves back in the game with a good goal, you'd have to say, and it's 2-1. And again, we're now in a situation, we've talked about everything having to come together for Town to get a result. They've got the early goals. They've got a VAR verdict going their way. Now, it's backs against the wall time. Can they see it out? Can they do what they've failed to do, let's be honest, in a lot of games this season, which is protect a lead and see out a result? And they duly did. And they did it, by all accounts, in professional, impressive style.
Mm. Having spoken about how crap Spurs are at set pieces, they duly went and scored from a set piece, which was really nice. So, yeah, this touch on it briefly, was just pure quality. There were not many moments of pure quality from Tottenham in this game, I don't think, to be perfectly honest. This was one of them. The cross from Porro. Axel kind of loses his man, but it's not really his man. He kind of gets into this half space and Bentancur heads in kind of near post. It's such a nice header. And given the timing of the goal, the feeling is, uh-oh, I've seen this before. It is a horrible kind of time where it's not early enough in the half where you want Town to go and push up and go and have the same approach in the first half, but it's not late enough that you can put everyone behind the ball and try and see out the win. So trying to find that balance was hard, especially against the team that has the depth that they do, especially against the team that were able to bring off their centre mids and bring on players like Timo Werner, where they were just playing five attackers at one point, and bringing on James Maddison, the pantomime villain, players like this. They have another VAR call that goes in their favour. This one, I really don't really understand why it needed proper checking, because it's a handball from Porro's cross that hits Leif Davis. For starters, it hits him on the chest. And secondly, it's outside of the box. So that was done nice and quickly. But other than that, this was the game management they lacked in the other games, wasn't it? When you look at Brentford, to an extent Leicester, although that's a harsh one to look at, and some of the other ones that have come before, they manage this so well. It's not always about wanting to push and get a third goal. It's not always about wanting to sit deep. It's not about wanting to do certain things religiously all the time. It's about doing the right things in the right moments, making the right decisions. And the key players did that. The one that stood out to me in that situation was Amari Hutchinson. We talk a lot about his dribbling and his creativity, all of those things. He won the most duels in this game, 12 duels he won. He drew the most fouls in this game, 4 fouls. Everything that he did was just so perfectly suited to the situation that Town were in. There are so many others you can look at in this, and navigating that away, a Tottenham team, you stretch the pitch, you use pace, clinical, for 28 minutes roughly, almost half an hour pretty much. That's a sign of real development. And I think it was mentioned on Match of the Day, but given how they've struggled in those situations before, and now they've been able to put in a performance like that, it shows that they're learning from this experience of being in the Premier League.
Mm. Stu, how was it in the stadium in terms of that feeling, I guess you would say so far this season, of inevitability that the lead would slip and they'd either go on to draw or lose the game? Because I had to go and stand in the garden I'll be honest, on my own, I was listening to the commentary on the BBC Sport website. Liz was annoying me by saying you're going to end up losing 4-2. It's going to be hilarious. So I had to go and take myself off and stand in the garden looking at the sky and kind of silently fist pumping whenever things went Town's way. What was it like watching? Did it feel like Spurs were going to find a way back into it? Or were you sitting there feeling comfortable with the way Town were handling things?
I was going to do the Sir Ralph Ramsey. I feel fine. that would be a lie. It was, I think everybody's heart was in their mouth the longer that game went on. In terms of the feeling in the stadium, we said as halftime was approaching, Alex said to me, I wonder what this reaction is going to be like from the home crowd. It was resounding boos at halftime. And you think, well, can Ipswich feed off that energy? Negative energy, you know, ramp up that negative energy in the second half. And they get those couple of VAR calls go their way. And then you could feel there was a period sort of when Spurs did score, there was a period of about 5 minutes of a mini Tottenham storm where I thought, I was looking at the clock thinking there's no way you can soak up this amount of pressure for that amount of time. But then Ipswich kind of got through that period, and we're talking a lot about the game management here. Is they retained that outlet on the counter attack. Dalap was still fighting centre halves. Amari Hutchinson was carrying the ball and winning the fouls, as Alex says. And then you could feel the frustration grow in the home crowd. And Tottenham didn't really have many answers to that kind of the organisation and the resilience. And then there was a couple of times tried to float across into the box from difficult angles, and the ball would drift out for a goal kick, and there'd be howls from the home crowd. A couple of times Muric caught the ball out of the sky, and then you started to think they're getting a bit frustrated here, and I think Ipswich sensed that as well. But nevertheless, you get, you know, when the board goes up for 8 minutes and you know with what happened against Brentford and Leicester, you know, it was the heart was beating fast, I'm sure, for everybody. And it still required a big Muric save with his legs when we're talking about everything needing to go their way. The keepers had to come up with some stops as well. And thankfully they could get it over the line.
Yeah, that stop was huge, wasn't it, from Solanke that Muric made. Rossi, so they do it. They win. What was the mood like around you? You've got some great pictures, which we might as well flash this up early, actually, because this is a picture of, you might recognise the guy in the centre there, member of the KOA Army, Wazza, loving life, as are the fans around him. So clearly a mass outbreak of celebrations. And it's even better in this scenario because, let's be honest, no one thought they were going to go there and win. So when it's unexpected, it's even better.
Put that photo up again, 1 second. Yeah. For those that are watching on video, my favourite person in that picture is, if you look on the far right, the guy with his hand clasped to his forehead, looking to the heavens as if to say, "What has just happened?" And that kind of sums up, I think, the feelings around this one.
Absolutely, Rossi. How did you feel at full time? They'd done it. It must have felt quite surreal in the ground.
Yeah, it was a surreal moment, you know, just as I said at the start of the podcast, you know, to see Ipswich Town win a Premier League game, just incredible moment. And yeah, I wanted to make sure to capture the fans as well. And I knew Wazza was behind me, and Joe and James in that picture as well. They travelled to the game with me. And also their mum, Julie, is in this picture, just on the left there.
On the left there, nice.
Yeah, the Julegan, we call her. we travelled as a five, and just to sort of turn around and see them, you know, celebrate and see everyone celebrate. Obviously, I saw a few other people I know in the crowd. Good old Ben DF and the King of the North, John Watson, was in there. Liam from Crew, Bloomers and all that. It was incredible. So, it was just a relief moment where, like, Ipswich Town finally won a Premier League game, and Town fans were singing, you know, out of that stadium with absolute joy.
Mm. Right then, Rossi, you mentioned pictures. I've asked you to add some pictures, your favourite pictures from the game. So by way of kind of reviewing this historic victory, I invite you now to flash up these pictures in whatever order you want. And we can maybe talk a little bit about each one and the players and our reflections on them. So do you want to, where are we going to start? Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the star boy, Amari Hutchinson, just him in action. I think this is actually one of his shots in the second half, where he just like danced around loads of players. And I think there's actually a good picture and a little poster club put out about James Maddison holding on to Amari Hutchinson's shirt, saying, "Oh, if you want to buy it, mate, you know."
That was wonderful. Shirt, you
know. That was very good. But yeah, Amari Hutchinson, I think AJ put a man in the match. So
yeah. Do you want to talk about Amari, AJ? Because I think you said it was his best performance so far. You gave him 9 in your ratings.
Yeah, I think this was his most intelligent and most mature performance so far. I remember him coming in and making his debut, funnily enough, at Cambridge in pre-season. And he showed some absolute brilliance in that game. And then it was right at the start. And from there on, was just the most frustrating player to watch. Every time he had someone with him in space, he'd shoot and he's making all the wrong decisions. He's got this raw quality, but he's not figured out how to use it. And his development, and I talk about his development a lot, but in the space of just over a year, is frightening. The fact that he's gone from that level to now being such a clever Premier League player. And yeah, we can still talk about all of his ability, the way he can take on his man, the way he can use those skills to dance past players, the fact that he is a much more accurate and clinical shooter in the right areas. But for me, as I said earlier, it's all about his game management in this one. And we've seen it in flashes. We've seen his defensive work rate in flashes. This was where we saw it when it mattered for an extended period. And that's really what stood out to me. It's the fact that he's just got this real dogged determination not to be beaten. It's his real determination to track back, be defensive. And then when he gets the ball and he wins it, and then he can carry it forward again and he makes the right decisions. If there's someone with him that's in a better space, he'll pick out that pass. If he needs to go down under pressure, he'll go down under pressure and do it in a way that he knows he'll get that free kick. If he needs to go to the corner flag, he'll go do it and he'll be aware of what the time is. There were lots of occasions where we had that as well. I think he wins the foul right at the end of the game that pretty much guarantees the win for Ipswich. So all of those things factor in for me. It's not just his incredible ability, which has just gotten better and better and better week after week after week, but it's just the fact that he's now learning what it takes to be a Premier League footballer, because you can have, and we see a lot of young players that have all the skills and not a lot else. And there was always a risk with a player like him coming in that your career can end up like that, and it's not going to end up like that. I can promise you that now.
Rossi, can we go to your boy Jay Smooth next? Because I want to talk about him a little bit.
What man? Look at him. Beaming smile. Yeah.
Kieran
McKenna He's got a headache. He's got a headache. Yeah. Jens, and also Calvin Phillips. Even, you know, Massimo's there as well. Good old Mass. That was a good day for Mass, you know, going against his former team as well. But yeah, I'll let Stu talk about Jens because I'll just go too overboard. But yeah, he's amazing.
Stu, talk about speaking to Jens for the first time on Friday, because he might be the coolest man alive, I think. He sounded like he was lying down while taking your questions. What a guy, what a story, and also what a player. You know, whenever I've seen him play for Town, I've always been hugely impressed. And he is just smoothness, isn't he?
Yeah, first time we'd spoken to him as a collective media last week, leading into this game. He's got that sort of American accent that sounds like he should be doing some sort of Morgan Freeman voiceover, just really, really soothing, really calm. Fascinating backstory as a guy who's Swedish mother. He's got an American Haitian father, had a spell living in China growing up. He's played football in Denmark, France. He's played for the Serie A champions, Napoli, who he signed for. And now he finds himself in England, and he talked about how he feels he might be suited to English football. He likes a good old-fashioned British challenge, was the quote when he signed. So we've been looking forward to seeing him, and we've only really seen him in fits and starts so far because it's been Morsi and Phillips, and he's had a couple of little setbacks with his knee. That's ultimately why he didn't sign for Brentford back in the summer. But the bits and pieces we've seen, we quite liked him, and we feel like he brings a bit of extra size and athleticism to the midfield, which I think is a prerequisite at Premier League level. And to match his persona, he's also got some composure and calmness on the ball. And I thought, you know, we were Alex and I were discussing man of the match picks at the end of the game, and it was such a hard call because to a man, Ipswich were fantastic. But there were three or four standouts for me. We've talked about Amari, who I think edges it because, in all phases of the game, in all aspects of the game, Amari was excellent. But Jens would have been in that collective. I thought he was really good. And as Ross says, it's going to be interesting kind of what that midfield pairing looks like when things settle down. Obviously, Sam's, one booking away from a suspension. So, really good, Jens. Impressed.
And you also asked him the key question, Stu, which is how you say his name. Hmm. What was his response to that?
I wish I'd got this on tape so I could have played this out to you. But I grabbed him as he was leaving the room and then tried to record myself saying it afterwards. And I'm still not 100% sure whether I've quite recalled it correctly. I put out put out something on Twitter last week, which was Kai Ouste. But now I've had other members of the media tell me at the weekend that I've recalled that wrongly. Alex, I think, passed him in the mix zone and asked as well. I think it's more of a softer T at the end. Kai Ouste.
Yeah, so we got a little bit lost together in the belly of the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. He ended up walking with us down to the media lounge, and I said to him, look, while I've got you, mate, how do you pronounce it? I wasn't there on Friday. And the first thing he said to me was, I've had it pronounced in so many different ways. You can kind of do what you want. And I said, all right, how is it? What is it actually? And it was a Kajusta. So it's a T at the end. So it's not Kajuste, it's not Kajust or anything like that. What he told me was Kajusta. So, yeah.
Kajusta like rooster. He's going to be Jay Smooth to me, though, going forward, which means he will now experience a steep drop off in performance. I shouldn't have done that. Rossi, carry, take us through these pictures. Should we skip through a few of these pictures? Because there's some good pictures, and I'll shout when I want to talk about them. So let's flash them up, shall we?
Sure. Let's do this one. I thought this was a nice little touch at full time. Arrow, Mirich, and Sam Morsy, a skip. We've got a really good picture of Sam Morsy celebrating at full time, but I love this moment where obviously Arrow. He seems like, he's a chill guy. I know he's a bit of a head case sometimes when he's on the pitch sometimes. bless him. But in terms of just, I'm sure he just wanted to just, clap the fans a little bit there. But Morsy really got him to come in and celebrate. And just a nice little picture of them together, which is nice. And obviously Arrow's had a few, had a few moments, hasn't he, so far. But I thought that was a nice little moment. And Arrow, made some really good saves in this one. But it just shows Sam Morsy, making sure A1's part of that celebrations, and even Arrow, which is very nice indeed. I don't know if you boys want to mention.
I just like the gear change there in your description, Ross, from he's a very chill guy to a head case.
Yeah.
Can I request a picture? I don't know if you've got this one to hand, Ross, but it's the picture of Dara O'Shea celebrating. I don't know when this was taken. Was this at the full-time whistle? Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking around. Yeah, I was trying to look around, obviously, annoyingly, I wish they were like more up close. Like sometimes, I wish they were like in the corner trying to, waste time. But they were like the far end, obviously, when the ref blew the whistle. I was like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to get really good celebration pics because I have to really zoom in. And it's not bad quality, that picture. But I just was looking around. I saw a few people celebrate. And then I saw Dara O'Shea. And I thought, you know what? Dara O'Shea may not get mentioned much about this game, but I thought he had a good game, and yeah, nice little celebration with two Spurs players. Is that Romero and Solanke there?
Yeah.
Looking very disappointed.
Also. Yeah. The contrast between those two and Dara there. He's look at the passion in that celebration at the end. He's certainly going to get a big mention from me. I think if there was anyone pushing Amari for man of the match in this game, it was Dara O'Shea. This is a guy who's playing with, by all accounts, quite a nasty back problem. But he's playing through the pain. I don't know if he's having injections in it. They're talking about having to very carefully manage it. I don't think he's doing a lot of training between games at the moment. He was immense. Got his head on things. He won foot races with players. He made he read the danger. He swept up. He made big blocks. He charged things down. I thought he was absolutely brilliant, a warrior.
Crack on then, Rossi. What else have we got? We've got some good ones here.
Let me do... We'll do that one last, because that was obviously at the end of the game. I got this one. I've only just found this in my camera roll, and it was this one here. Kissing Sammy Smuddocks for the first goal. Obviously, the goal scorer is obviously the assist man to the goal scorer. But yeah, it was a nice one here, you know. And I've just seen Sammy Smuddock use this on his Instagram. So where's my credit, though, Sammy? I'll have words with you, my friend. But yeah, nice little moment here.
A tender moment. Lovely stuff.
It's a very pink photo, that, especially with the red in the background.
Yeah, it does look like pink, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very pink. I like it, though. Now we've seen the kit in person, I thought we should touch on this quickly. What are the verdicts of the third shirt, then?
Amazing. Best kit ever.
Okay. I like it more when I've seen it in action. Every time I've seen it like on photos and some of the shoots, I haven't been sold, but... It's an interesting thought with this as well. This might sound absolutely crazy. A suggestion that came from my grandmother when I returned back from the game yesterday, which is do you think it kind of comes with a bit of a fresh start, this kind of kit? You played in the other two. You've had some real disappointing, heartbreaking results right at the end. You come out with a bit of a fresh new kit, fresh vibes, fresh start.
They're beating it.
Exactly. So I think she'll probably agree with me. Just play with it every week at this point.
Perfect record. On you go then, Rossi. What else have we got?
That's one for the vibes department. Have Ipswich appointed their head of vibes yet? But they certainly need to be looking into that. I mean, Kieran McKenna talked about it both pre-match and post-match about maybe it will bring us a bit of luck and the Ed Sheeran factor attached to it. So for all the heavy analysis that goes into football, big space for the vibes department still. And that kit, I think, plays a part. I remember... Players have always talked about like playing in bright kits, and it's certainly bright, I tell you that. And, you know, it sounds silly to talk about kit playing a role, but, you know, it's, if they feel good in it and they feel visible in it, then you know, maybe it helps.
It really upset some Tottenham fans. I saw a lot of bloggers call it, like, have you seen the Peppa Pig? Been beaten by a load of Peppa Pigs. They look like a load of highlighters. Yeah, maybe this can be like a bit of a shithousery kit. I like it.
I'll tell you what, the club's commercial department will be rubbing their hands after last night as well, with Christmas on the horizon. That's boosted the already club record sales of merchandise. Mark Ashton, I'm sure, will be enjoying that.
When Town, I'm going to finally say this, when Town beat Derby County under the lights on Sky, all those years ago, that was the blackout kit, wasn't it? The first time they wore that. So there's history there in terms of wearing a new kit and getting a result in a big game. So long may that one continue.
So what you're saying is just keep bringing out a new kit every game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Ashton's looking for more revenue. Just keep rolling them out.
Keep 38 kits. By Ed.
Yeah. This is what Ed's come up with this week. let's see. Go on then, Rossi. Sorry, we've talked a little bit long there. But,
that's fine.
Keep the pitches coming.
Yes, this one is probably my favourite of the day because just, you know, the guys with now fingers up in the air. And this is what you got to do as a photographer. Nice little peek behind the curtain for me. I always make sure to keep an eye on the goal scorer because you just never know what he's going to do. And I have a feeling I may be the only one who's got this picture. Anybody listening who was a photographer there, but I was looking at the photographer next to me and went, oh, he's not taking this picture. And he just got his hands up in the air. And yeah, just a nice little moment. And I think I've seen you put iconic. So I'll take that. Hang it in the Louvre.
I've often spoken on here about I like pictures that are different. And as soon as I saw that, I loved it. And if you just bring up again, Rossi, just from my point of view, my perspective is you framed it perfectly with the fingers. A lot of times you'd see that picture and the hand would be either too far left or too far right, or one of the fingers would be cut off. It's so well framed within that shot, and I ended up insisting they use it on the front of the Anglian this morning. They wanted to use a stock celebration picture, and I said, that's boring. It's the first Premier League game they've won in 22 years. Let's do something a bit different. So there we go. That's why that's on the front of the Anglian. I love that picture. Something different, out of the ordinary, memorable. And it also helps, at least in my mind, that he wears number 23, because that in itself is an iconic number in sports, obviously made famous by Michael Jordan. Anyone who knows anything about sport probably associates 23 with excellence. So yeah, that's why I like that one. You still with us, Ross? I don't think he is. I think Ross is gone. I'll crack on then. I'll bring up some more of these pictures. I want to bring up Axel again, purely because this cast, right? Do you remember when Leicester won the Premier League and Jamie Vardy had an injury? He scored all those goals and he had an injury, which meant he wore a cast, and he actually carried on wearing it after he'd stopped needing it because he felt like it was lucky. So hopefully we'll see Axel wearing that a few more times this season. I'm quite put off by the Ross kind of freeze-framed in the bottom left. I might remove him, actually.
Get rid of Ross. That must be really difficult back to play with that cast, because yeah, for those that haven't seen it, I'm sure most of you have, he's got his hand permanently kind of stuck in a closed fist position. He's obviously can't move any of the tendons in there. And as a footballer, first glance, you kind of think, well, that doesn't really affect someone who kicks a ball and can't use their hands. But any kind of athletic movement, when you sprint, I mean, look at Sam Morsi, for example, and how splayed his fingers are when he runs. And when you jump as well, you know, you it's natural for you to kind of want to use your hands to propel you in whatever direction. So he must have been thinking, you know, the first time I jump up, if I land on that in a funny way. The guy almost lost his thumb. So for him to sort of be back playing in that scenario, and as Alex said, he took a throw in at one stage, which was slightly bizarre, you know, shows you his desire to be back on the scene. And that was a major boost, because he'd started the season so well, hadn't he? So, on the positive front, he's back. Jacob Greaves is on his way. Hopefully be back for Man United as well, although he's got a job on his hands.
Does he come back into the team? That's a conversation to be had, isn't it? Because Cam's doing good things.
Exactly. So, hopefully you've kind of ridden out this period of the bad injuries. Obviously, there's some long ones, but that's good news.
Mm. If Axel catches someone in the face with that cast, that's going to do damage. That's what I'm saying. here's George Hurst. Echoing, evoking his inner Terry Butcher with a bandage across his head. Did he get injured, George, in this?
He did, yeah. I want to raise this because as a nasty old elbow, and it was basically the last action of the game, basically. And I think Spurs knew that the game was up we're into sort of the 99th minute beyond stoppage time, and the ball goes up in the air. George Hurst had already been in the war since coming on. He went down, and Kieran McKenna talked about it being a twinge in his knee, which isn't good when you think about what happened with George last season. But he, you know, epitomising kind of the fighting spirit in that Ipswich team, played on. And then the ball kind of hung up in the air right at the end, just as the ref was about to blow the full-time whistle. Radu Dragosan absolutely cleaned him out mid-air, leading with his elbow. And I thought that was really nasty at the time. And it kind of got lost in amongst the full-time celebrations. You know, while the Ipswich players were over in that away end celebrating, there was a stretcher on, and it wasn't looking good for George Hurst for a little while. I think he was probably concussed, dazed. He's obviously had a cut there. There was a fair bit of claret from what I could see from when the camera zoomed in, and he's ended up patched up like Terry Butcher. So I don't know if they'll look at that subsequently, but that was not good from Dragosan.
Hmm. Welcome back, Rossi. You froze and left us for a bit. We've only got one picture left for you to flash up, which is K Money, K Dog, K Mac, Lord and Saviour. Do you want to flash that one up?
Yeah, I want to apologise. Basically, I thought I put my charger in, which I did, but then I didn't basically...
didn't plug it in.
I plugged it in, but I didn't switch the...
classic.
So, yeah, classic me. But yeah, K-Dog, look at that.
There
just
we
celebrating.
Go.
There's other pictures I've got in the system, and there's others I can put in as well, because he went mental. Yeah. He loved that. And obviously, yeah, great story for him, you know, coming over from Northern Ireland when he was 14. He's never gone back home. Obviously, he's gone and visited and stuff, but he's been here. Oh, he's had the journeys he's had. And, great celebrations.
Rossi would just like to stress he has been back home to visit, but not to stay for longer than a week at a time. what I thought was really classy from Kieran, again, I mean, the guy is all class, isn't he? But at the end of the game, he's obviously excited. They're in a big group hug, and then suddenly he realises, and he pulls himself out of it and goes to kind of shake Big Ange's hand. Again, just class personified. Great picture, great scenes, Rossi, and there's many more to come. Just by way of wrapping this up, boys, AJ, I mean, we said this, it kind of felt like it was coming. So if we look at the bigger picture, Brentford, unlucky to come away with at least not a point. Perhaps on another day, they could have had 3 points. Leicester, they should have won that game. And now they have won at Spurs. So this is on the back of three, you'd have to say, good, positive performances. And now we go into the international break. So there's a really good feeling around Ipswich Town, isn't there? I mean, in terms of, as Stu's already touched on, we've got players coming back. They've got, I guess you would say, they've got some time on the training pitch. They're getting better and better and better in terms of adapting to the league. They've clearly got some players, you know, Liam Delap, for one, who's excelling in the Premier League. So just like the kit, the future looks very bright indeed.
Yeah, it does. And I think I've probably got a different view because my, you know, having not covered this club for as long as you guys, my view at full-time isn't necessarily quite as, wow, they've won in the Premier League for the first time in 22 years. It's they've got their first win of the season, and that is vital. Because you got to a point, and I'm sure that we all did feel this, we spoke about it, after the Leicester game, which felt like, it wasn't, but it felt like a must-win game. And you look at the games coming up, which are really hard after this, United, Forest, who are doing really well, and then going into the December run, which is tough. And we were sat there thinking, when's this first win going to come? And you hear players and the manager saying, it is going to come, we're getting there. And although you can see things improving, until it happens, it becomes harder and harder to kind of believe it and get your head around it. And then 8 days later, it happens. So there you go. And that's the biggest sign. Now they've got this out of the way, and they've essentially ticked off the last thing that they needed to. They've ticked off a lot of things with it as well. Like, not only have they gone and got that win that essentially gets the monkey off their back, they've gone and beaten the top six side, and they've done it away from home. So, yeah, this is huge in terms of the confidence, in terms of shifting the national narrative, which is a big thing in the Premier League when you have the newspapers, the national newspapers, and Match of the Day and social media are all saying, well, you're the last team in the 92 not to win a football match. I think we found out that in all competitions that goes down to something like the eighth tier or something. So, yeah, I think that getting this now in the way that they did is vital, and the sentimental side has to be there. And Kieran McKenna is really good at acknowledging the sentimental side of it. But I also know that he will be so focused on what it means for Ipswich Town in the present. And that is a lot going forward, going into a really tough run of games, going into a Manchester United game, which will be, I would imagine, probably one of the hottest atmospheres that we've seen in Portman Road for a while. Could be the hottest this season. For a long time before that. So it just gives them so much to build off, and it gives the fans and the players and everyone involved with the club the confidence that it works, that it's not just good performances, but no results. They can get results. They can get themselves out of the relegation zone. They just have, they're not going to be cut adrift at this point, that they are competitive. And as Sammy Smodics was quite keen to say, we're not here to make up the numbers, and this kind of result proves it. And that's just going to do so wonders for this club on so many different levels.
Yeah. Do you want to draw a line under this one for us then, Stu? Because you used a wonderful line at the end of your verdict. Your payoff lines are always top tier, top pro you are. And this one was all of a sudden, anything feels possible again. And it really does, mate, because they've got a win where they weren't expected to get one. They're out of the drop zone. And just that, it's just that sentiment, isn't it? Because it was starting to feel like, oh, the season's going to drift away, and before we know it, they're going to be, you know, cut adrift, and they're the only winless team in the country, and they're no hopers and all this kind of stuff. Now that can all be binned, because that's not the case.
Yeah, and a lot of that, I think, is for outside the club, is for us, for the supporters, for the vibes department, for the feeling of, I don't think anyone who has watched Ipswich week in, week out were thinking we're going down because we're not good enough, but there was a sense that the season was slipping away, and maybe it's not written in the stars, and there were so many of these little things, be it VAR or late goals, that were kind of going against Ipswich. But now, a win changes all of that, and it changes the mood going into, I looked at it, three of the next four at home. And you kind of think what that does for everybody turning up at Portman Road. We've had a probably it was necessary on this kind of journey that we're all on together. Sound a bit X Factory, isn't it? The journey. That Everton game was maybe was the needed reality check that people going, oh, we should be beating West Ham, we should be beating Everton, because we all went into this season on an absolute high after back-to-back promotions. Maybe we could finish top half. And so back down to earth with some results. And now this one just, now we've been reminded of how tough it's going to be. But this one, you know, raises hope again. Internally, the players will tell you, trust the process. We knew we were playing well. It's all about performances. If you do that over a period of time, you get what you deserve. But they needed an example of that. And they've done it once, and now they know they can go and do it again.
Absolutely. Europe, here we come. Let's draw a line under the game then, Rossi, and let's take fans behind the curtain. So we talked about what they saw on the pitch. We talked about everything that happened there. But also, I know that people want to know about the experience of covering a game at Spurs Stadium, because to a man and woman, anyone I know who was there yesterday have said it was a wonderful, wonderful place to watch football. And clearly you were there as part of the freeloading media. So what was the experience like from a press point of view? We've got a behind the scenes video coming later, but I'd like to know, because AJ was sending pictures of pork roast and Oreo top mousse, and there's even a bloody cheese board in the cafe. Incredible for the press. I mean, where did they get the idea that we're pampered and looked after? What was it like, Rossi?
Yeah, I said earlier, it's an incredible experience. It's like a spaceship, isn't it? When you sort of walk up to it and go, what? So obviously, they spent £1 billion on it, so obviously it's had to be impressive. But yeah, you had to go through like airport security again. It was smaller than the West Ham port security, but you had to, get my bag checked as you normally would do. But then I had to take all my stuff out of my pocket to then go through this metal detector and all that. And then, yeah, going in, just the room. I think they use that just like that cafe, because it's like the media cafe, they call it. But they must use that on a day-to-day basis anyway. But when you walk in, it's just huge. And then, yeah, pork roast on a Sunday. Beautiful. And, yeah, it was an incredible experience. And being pitch side, just walking out and just going, wow, just impressive. And obviously the atmosphere wasn't great, really. The away end was fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, well done in that away end for Town fans. But as a whole, the atmosphere, it's like the Etihad, really. It was a little bit, obviously Spurs were rubbish, so that's probably why. But yeah, incredible experience, 10 snappy snaps. And the boys, I'm sure they enjoyed their view as well.
AJ, I saw something in one of your pictures I've never seen before, a football game. I've seen it at like basketball games a lot, but there was a live DJ in front of you. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, there was. The press box is annoyingly low at Tottenham. It's nice. It's fancy. I'm not a massive fan of the Norwich. If you know what the Norwich press box like, the swingy chairs. Not a fan. A bit cramped, but it's a nice setup there. And then just a couple of rows down, they just got a DJ playing all the tunes. So I think I don't know if they have the camera panned on. They have a camera right in front of him. And to get to our press box seats, you have to walk behind him. So you might have been able to spot me and Stu walking on the screen. You would have been able to see us going behind the DJ. Some nice songs going on there. Yeah, some good tunes. But yeah, that was a new one. I've seen it at games, but not literally positioned in the press box. That was new. Overall, as Ross said, great experience, good food, like the lounge. They had PS5s in there. They weren't turned on, but that was pretty crazy. And overall, yeah. And walking out into the stadium, I felt when I went to the Etihad, it's going to sound a bit crazy, to be honest, but it doesn't feel that impressive. It feels quite small and low down when you're in there. This, you just feel like an ant. It is huge. It's just colossal. The radio guys, for example, I think we're on floor 5 above us. It's so spread out. It's so up to date, and when clubs get new stadiums, they can be really bad. Like we can think of some examples, especially elsewhere in London, but this is how you do it. It really was quite a venue.
Listen to how blasé he is about, roast dinner and what was it? Mm-hmm. There's a man who didn't go to Morecambe. There's a man who didn't travel 300 miles to not get a cup of tea or a glass of water or something.
I'm also not having that about Morecambe because Morecambe's food and their pie. Now, I know you had to pay £1 for it.
I don't know why I plucked them out of thin air. Yeah,
brilliant. Good pie. They were really
good. Not Tottenham, though.
No.
They only had 6 types of cheese, didn't they? It's ridiculous. I know. The PF size weren't even working. Joke.
I did complain about that. Yeah, I went to Morecambe.
AJ, did you tap the DJ on the shoulder and request some Taylor Swift?
Yeah, but I didn't get anywhere with it. Unfortunately, he just said no and kept on playing his Ariana Grande instead. Shocking.
Right then, friends, let's draw a line of the game. Let's move on because there's something else I want to talk about, and that is AJ, your birthday, old friend. You're now another step closer to the grave, like the rest of us. You're 24 years old. How was it, first of all? And there's an issue arising I want to talk about. But first of all, how was your birthday?
Yeah, it was good. Oh god. I had a really good birthday. Thank you. Went out for a nice meal, my favorite curry restaurant that I always bang on about. Had some nice cake, some nice drink, obviously, you know, you have to when it's your birthday. And yes, overall a thoroughly enjoyable time as you get one step closer to the grave.
Now, I don't want to end this show on a bitter note, a sour note, but I'm going to. So in the group chat, AJ throws in a picture casually on Friday on his birthday, having asked how Jens Kajust was and all this kind of stuff on his birthday. He sends a picture of a champagne bottle and says, I'm finally making use of the Kieran McKenna champagne. I think he's pretending that Kieran McKenna's bought him some champagne for his birthday. No, it turns out Kieran McKenna bought him and Stu some champagne to celebrate the end of last season. Unfortunately, Ross, I'm still waiting for mine to turn up. I mean, you were everywhere with the boys last season. You didn't get any. What? I mean, this is
disgrace. Disgrace.
Can I just say this? I was with Ross when I got mine, and he didn't care. This really is Mark Heath's champagne problems, isn't it? This is. But finally, Ipswich Town have won a game, and he doesn't have anything to moan and complain about. So he's got to find something. And he's found it. So here
I'm the man who sets the sporting agenda in East Anglia, and I didn't get any champagne. Outrageous! I don't even like champagne.
Maybe it was nice though. Thank you.
Was it good? Yeah. Have you drunk yours yet, Stu?
I haven't. No.
I have
probably met Kieran McKenna considerably more times than you have, Mark.
Oh, it's like that, is it? I see. Okay, fair enough. Should we move on, friends? Should we talk about FPL? Other dismal failures. I had a terrible week. My tactic of loading my side with Tottenham players, I guess I can take credit for Town winning this game because I brought in Son and Solanke. I got rid of Delap and I ended up with, I think, about 33 points. Absolutely dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. How did we do as a collective?
I ended up with 54 points, but I had to take a -4 to make a couple of changes. I took Haaland out and then felt immeasurably sick and ill and disgusted when I saw him score at Brighton on the TV. I was livid. Thankfully, I brought in Mo Salah and captained him to the tune of 28 points. I also brought in Solanke because that sounded like a clever thing to do. Spoiler alert, it wasn't. I don't even know who I took. I took out Haaland for that. And then the other player I took out was Cole Palmer, and he was rubbish. So that was good. Saka's injured, so that's not so good. And Bermo, yeah, it was all right. I ended up with 54 points, which I thought was okay. But I'm just free falling at the moment. I was coming up for the top 20. I've gone all the way down to 84th, which is shocking by my high standards.
Rossi, you're celebrating there. Did you have a good week?
Nah, it's just funny because he's or obviously
he takes it so seriously.
He does. Yeah. We'll obviously record FBL pod and we'll talk about in depth stuff about our teams and obviously your boys' team as well. But I'm not a bad week. Delap's in my team. I'm back in my boy. He got me 11 points, goal, assist. Happy days. I captained Salah as well, so he got me 28 points. Ugh. But everybody else was rubbish. So Pedro Porro got me 4 points. So that's at least one Spurs player.
How many players can you have from any one club? Can I just fill my team with Ipswich players now?
I've got Davis in my team as well. Davis in my team, but he got a point. So, can't leave. Do better.
Yeah, the problem is I'm now going to have to buy Delap back, and I bet there's a surge. There's a run on Delap now. People are getting him back, and I've got to wait 2 weeks, obviously, before I can do that feasibly. Right then, friends, let's start wrapping up, shall we? Anything else, any other business that we've got? Stu, you positioned yourself beautifully in your office with your own book over your left shoulder there.
Oh, yeah. What, this?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Oh,
I can't do this every time. Yeah. No, everyone knows the drill on that now. Any other business? Very quickly, 4 wins in a row against Tottenham now, and I thought there was a remarkable bit of kind of history repeating. The last time Ipswich won at Spurs in 2001, opening goal came from an overhead kick for Needy George. The winner came from a blonde-haired striker, Alan Armstrong. Funny how things work out. Last little behind-the-scenes insight. I did the world's worst handshake with Kieran McKenna at the end of the press conference. I'm still thinking about it now. I believe it does exist on the internet through some strange international broadcasters that put out all the footage. Ross has got it. There you go.
What's so bad about it?
Well, it's one of those, you know, where you do... I was going up to the podium as Kieran was leaving. I was going up to collect my dictaphone. And we pass. I was 99% sure that Kieran McKenna... In fact, yeah, I've shaken hands with Kieran many times. So I knew he'd be just a formal handshake guy. But I think maybe he was still feeling the moment. And then Kieran went for the man handshake, the footballer's handshake.
The bro
and
shake.
The bro shake. And we ended up with a bit of a kind of awkward, mangled hand that probably stayed in contact for a bit longer than either of us wanted. And we both made an awkward chuckle as we finally disengaged. So, that's living rent-free in my head at the moment.
You're so right, Stu. There are a few things I regret in life more than an appallingly bad handshake. A handshake gone wrong. You say it does. It's something that repeats, and you think the other person must think I'm a complete idiot. Do you know what I mean? Anything else from you boys?
I've had a couple of those ones before, but Kieran has the thing, especially in press conferences, where he'll come and slap me on the arm, and I've noticed the thing now. Every time he'll walk past and he'll slap me on the arm, and once he went for a handshake, I thought he was going to do it, and we just kind of ended up in a bit of a mess, which was not great.
I'm glad you said arm there, Alex.
Yeah. that would have been a lawsuit otherwise. God.
It's like you go to hand and there's a fist coming back, or vice versa. Ooh, and then you try and change it mid trajectory and it just ends up being a complete car crash.
Yeah,
anyway.
Not correct. Don't want to go back to the game too much, but I just want to quickly shout out Ben Johnson's had so much rubbish in the last few weeks, thought he was excellent in this one. So good shout out for him. And the other thing, who's excited for an international break, eh? International correspondent back and ready to go. Oh, can't wait.
There's some breaking news, isn't there? Actually, we should just mention that.
Yeah, Wes Burns is out of the Wales squad. He's managing a bit of a knock. Doesn't sound like that'll be anything too serious. But this is definitely an international break where I think there are fewer and fewer players going away at the moment. There's not that many on this one. The one that surprised me, who seemingly is still going, is Dara O'Shea. I know that he probably wants to play at Wembley. Ireland going to England in the Nations League. He'll be desperate to play in that. But given his situation, a bit of a surprise. But other than that, there's quite a few who aren't away. But I'll go through and cover all of that later in the week when we get nearer to some games.
I can't wait. Rossi, anything else from you?
I just want to mention the Town women's team because they played the same day or same time, actually, as Town faced Spurs. And they won 7-0, which is getting just ridiculous now. But they won again and they're unbeaten in the league so far. So, going to be hopefully a successful season for them.
Excellent. Right then, friends, we've done 80 minutes today, which is a long podcast by any accounts. But hopefully you'll agree it's justified given what happened at the weekend. Just to remind you then, about KOA 500, which is coming up, we think the start of December it will be, roughly. We want your thoughts, your stories, your pictures related to KOA. I've had loads of emails already. mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk if you want to get involved with that. We'll try and involve as many of those as we can in that KOA 500 show. And also, we need a sponsor. So Adidas, we've already appealed to. There's Dishoom, AJ's, I think, in negotiations with. But if you want to have your name associated with this, frankly, behemoth, of a podcast, four-time nationally award nominated, not won any, but still get involved. As I say, we're coming up to our 2.5 millionth listen all time. So that's quite big numbers, isn't it? If you want to be associated with us, again, email me, mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk. And also, friends, just a reminder, last couple of days of our latest offer, which basically means you can get everything we do for the rest of 2024 and a little bit into January for just £2, or get 30% off a whole year. So jump on that if you've not already. Anything else then, boys, before we take our leave? Ah, KOA merch, of course. Me and AJ, we didn't get the memo. We're both clashing today, but we're clashing in incredible style. This is our top-selling item in the KOA shop, the KOA blue hoodie. Go and get yourself some of that KOA merch in the run-up to Christmas. Perfect Christmas gift as well, if you want to buy the Ipswich Town fan in your life some KOA merch, plus Stuart Watson's book, plus Mission Impossible. That's the perfect little package, as we've said. Right then, friends, let's crack on. This pod is in the books. Ipswich Town are up and running in the Premier League. They've got their first Premier League win in more than 22 years. Next up, friends, it's only Man United coming to Ipswich Town after the international break. And in the words of the great Stuart Watson, all of a sudden, anything feels possible.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.